We were busy with a sermon series this month that we called Answering Life's Toughest Questions, and we're just wrapping it up tonight. And the question we are asking tonight, which we are finishing off with, is why do I have a broken heart? Why did I have to suffer through that situation? Maybe some of you have asked that question many times. Why me? Or maybe you've asked, why my mom? She's such a giving person. Since my earliest memories, she's given us as children and people in the community everything. Why her? And maybe you ask that question about yourself as well tonight. And I'm going to try and keep it very brief and cut to the core of this. Is this okay? Can we do this? Are your seatbelts on? Yes. Tikkie maakie langs jou and say, het jy jou tande geborsel? And now for the big question. Het jy gefloss? I want to read four verses for us in the book of Nehemiah. And before I read it, I want to give you a quick bit of history on this piece of scripture and why it takes place. And just to give you some backing, James, great photo, I say. Sorry, I didn't ask permission. We stole it from Facebook, I think. about 605 BC, God's nation, Israel, was taken captive by the Babylonians, who basically conquered the world. And what they did is they scattered God's people out of their town, or out of their land. And so Judah was, the Jews was going in different directions, and different other people just came in and settled there. To just give you guys an idea of the severity of this moment is the worship of God's temple that was carrying on for centuries, it stopped. There was no temple. The Jews were scattered. It was like the end, right? You could think about it like, think of some other group of people that you rarely find around the world, somewhere on an island, that was us, or God's people. We're not Jews, but you know what I'm saying. Scattered all over the world. Then, about 70 years after that, after the Babylonians took over Israel, these guys were an angry bunch. They were the Persians, all right? And their king, basically, said, we don't like the Babylonians. Why is all the Jews scattered all over the place? Go back to your home. I send you back. It's weird that you're all over the place. And he basically released the Jews all over the world to go back to their city. And it's at this time, 90 years after that announcement that the Jews may go back, that verse 1 of Nehemiah takes place. Now at this stage, Nehemiah, which is an Israelite, has found for himself a place in the kingdom of a nation that's not Israel, of this Persian nation. And he was a servant to the king. He was the cupbearer. That's what it says in chapter 1. And at this moment, he meets some of his family members and he asks them this question, how is our people doing? That's the background of Nehemiah. Let's just read this together. The words of Nehemiah, the son of... Guys, you have to have grace with me. I mean, these names. The funny thing is, before the service, Henriette asked me, did I spell these names wrong? But they actually just copied from the Bible. So, the son of Akilah. How's that, Mills? Is that okay? Is that acceptable? Akilah, is that better? Okay. Well, you just like, okay. I'll give you the mic and you'll read, if you laugh at me one more time. Okay. Now, what happened in the month of Chislev, listen, I like January, February, March better. But in any case, the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that was the city where he was in service of the king. That Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. How's it going with our parents? How's it going with our fathers, with our legacy, our brothers, those people that used to be, that we were supposed to grow up in the same city. We were supposed to play together. Where? I don't even know my family, but are they okay? Where are they? This is the answer. The remnant, die wat oorgebly het, then the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. Have you ever had a bad tenant? Have you ever heard your parents that maybe owns like property somewhere speak about a bad tenant? Anyone? They mess up your house. They break the stove. The thing is so thick, full of oil. When you get there, the shower is black. Now, basically, that's what happened to the city because Israel went out and the tenants move in. The walls are broken down. One night they decide, let's burn our gates. That's how tenants sometimes think. And this is the situation, okay? And as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. And I mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. At that moment, as he received the news about his people, it's like God is touching his spirit. He never knew that city, he never knew the people, but yet he went into a place of sorrow for what happened to his people. And so here's a question for you tonight. If you read that verse, I sat down and I wept. I mourn for days. I want to ask you, what breaks your heart in this world? Or, if I can say it another way, why is your heart broken at this moment? And let me just leave it there, but I want you to start thinking about this in your mind and keep it close to your heart. But I just know that everyone knows what a broken heart feels like. Isn't that true? It's one thing we all know. Every tongue, nation, tribe, all over the world, there's one thing you know, and that is the brokenness of our hearts. And you may have a broken heart tonight for one reason, and maybe I have it for another, but the pain is quite similar. You know, you feel alone. You don't know if this thing can be fixed. You feel like suddenly your whole world's going to end. No, I just have to share this. Excuse me, but I have to do this. I had a broken heart when I was in Standard 7, all right? Because there was a certain brunette in my school, which I'm married to now. And I thought, you know what? I know it's a science camp and everything, but I've got a different vision for this camp. I'm going to make this girl fall in love with me. That was my chemistry for the weekend, okay? And so when I came around the corner, we were in different groups walking up the mountains, and she was basically chatting to my friend and laughing and flirting. And I thought, oh my hat. And we didn't speak for another year. And then afterwards, she became my girlfriend, and now she's my wife. So I made it. I had a broken heart. But we all survive our broken hearts. Isn't that true? But what I want to tell you this day, just moving forward, is this: your broken heart may be your saving grace. Your broken heart may be the start of everything changing in your life for the good, and you never turn it back. It happened to me. I was in grade 12. I ended up on my knees. Because I was broken. The Holy Spirit introduced me to the Father, and I never looked back. But what I want to do tonight is I just want to show you 6 points on a broken heart and what it means to walk out of it. And I know that if you get this in your heart, you will do well. Are you with me? Can we do this? I'm going to go very fast. I'm going to invite the band up again to finish off us. The journey of the broken heart is what I will call these 6 points. Let's do them. Nehemiah 1 verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. Number 1 is as easy. It's just sometimes you break your heart. Something breaks your heart. You get there. Maybe you are here right now. If you've never experienced it, don't hold your breath. You will get there. In this life, this world is broken, and so we experience it as well. All right? It's just how it works. Moving on. I'm telling you, I'm going to go fast. Verse 6. This is Nehemiah. Now he's talking to God. He's saying, hear the prayer of your servant. That now I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing. Listen up. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house. He wasn't even part of that. Get to this in a second. God's word was way before the exile, way before they were scattered. If you're going to leave me, you will be scattered. That was 150 years, 60 years before before Nehemiah was born. And he goes on his knees and I said, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive my people. I am part of them. We have sinned against you. This is where it starts. And this is the second point you need to get tonight. Is if you have a broken heart, you need to clean your heart before God. And this is going to hurt to hear it. Even, guys, this is the tough part. Even if you have been sinned against, the first step of healing is not revenge. It's cleaning. Why? The enemy uses every opportunity. If I hurt honey, if I do something terrible towards him, the enemy already got me in his hand. But the moment I inflict sin against him, there's an opportunity to grab honey as well. Through what? Unforgiveness, bitterness, despair. These things will rip your heart out. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. You cannot see God with that on your heart. And that's how cruel this world of sin is. Just go back to our first sermon, all right? I'm not going to repeat all of it. It's where we are. Even if someone sins against you, it's an attack to take you down. Number one, if you have a broken heart, search to be cleansed. Forgive that person. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that they've done the right thing. It means that you're moving away as judge, handing over to God so that you may be free. Does that make sense? It's very hard. I'm going fast tonight. But then there's also times when you are actually in sin and the enemy blinds your eyes to your own sin. Can I give you an example? Ooh, some people are going to be very mad at me right now. Can I go forward, Nicolene? Okay. All right. You know what? That boyfriend I had 3 years ago, he was so rude. Stuff he said to me, I couldn't believe he said to me. Yeah, and what about the next one? He was worse because one day he actually hit me. And the last one I had, he was a sweetheart, but until he started to steal from me, we had to break up. I don't know what's wrong with this world. You know what? Let me tell you something about yourself. Can I share you a deep revelation? Wherever you go, there you are. And if trouble always follows you, at some stage, you need to look at yourself. All right? Because there's one person that's allowing those men into your life, and that's you. All right? And so sometimes with this thing, it's very, very hard because they've sinned against you. But to come to a place of absolute honesty, you have to say, God, okay. Stop the bus. Work in my heart. Right now. I want to serve you. I want to do well in this world. And God will reveal to you maybe you've been looking for love in men when He was offering it to you. And so that was where you missed it. Can you see that? When you had pain, it always gets to this place. Clean your heart before Him, and this is the hardest place. Most people will not get past number two. Most people not get past this. This is the tough. Because this means owning up for your own life when the other people out there are not owning up. And we know that. Yo, mama, hoe kom het ek pak gekry? Want hy was ook stout geweest. But this is where you go before God. So let's forget about them. I'll clean my heart. I want to do so well in this world. The hardest part. That's why I'm staying here for a bit longer. Bring your heart before Him. For some people, tonight it means to come to Him for the first time ever. To trust Jesus. For some of us, maybe we've had a relationship with Him in church. But not out there. Go to Him. Connect with Him. Clean your heart. Does that make sense, everyone? I know this is hard to hear, but let me tell you what. This thing will kickstart your healing like you've never seen before. Amen? I want to just share one thing on this. We are very bad learners when it comes to very important things. Let me give you a few examples. Who likes playing board games? Everyone that plays against me is hands down. but when it comes to things like board games, you know how quickly we learn just like this. When it comes to a little toy or a Lego thing, you put it wrong together one time, perfect the next time. When it comes to maybe, I don't know, making some kind of food from a recipe, you make the mistake once, you cook a splat. Okay, next time, perfect, because now you use all the ingredients, you've learned your lesson. You've substituted at the end like oil for chocolate. You just substitute everything. Doesn't work like that, okay? But you learn once, all right? When it comes to the most important things, we are so slow to learn. Relationships. Finances. Every month, you waste your money. Next month, you'll do it again. Every month, you're laughing because it's the truth. Says what? When it comes to the big and important things, we are slow learners. But if you get it, you'll do so well. It starts with number two. You are unteachable if number two doesn't fall here. Amen? Can I move on? Great. Don't update now, computer. Going to verse 8. Remember the word. Let me just say this again. This is, if you, I know you all are willing and you all are very excited about number two, but if you've checked out, just stay checked out. This does not apply, all right? This is building upon number two. Say number two. That's belangrijk. Great. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. He's speaking to God, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. Isn't that amazing? It was said way before the time. And he is bringing to God what God says. God, we deserve that. It makes sense now. That's why I'm saying, Lord, please forgive us. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcast are in the most uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them to the place that I've chosen to make my name dwell there. Before I go on, let me just show you something about yourself and how God works. You as a human being can be so torn apart. As long as your pieces is in this universe, and you get to do number two before God, He will gather it for you. It's a promise. Someone agree with me? I'm telling you now, if you come to Him, He will gather your pieces and He will put you back together. But you'll have to bring what you have left, everything. Amen? Point number three. Push into God's promise of restoration. Yes, I am broken. I am broken. We did sin. We messed up, Lord. But I'm coming to you for restoration. And He does this all the time. He speaks to the disciples. Before they go out and mess up and forsake Him at the cross, He says, when He washes their feet, you are clean. Looking into their future because He knew He was going to restore them. I want to just share something out of my own life. When that morning when I was on my knees accepting Christ, I was torn apart. Every area of my life, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. It's a true story. I went on my knees, and that crazy charismatics like we are, was singing all over the place. I'm like, oh, someone's going to come pray for me. Oh, no. No, don't cry. And I was on my knees, and there was a wooden floor, remember, and I cried a puddle. And a guy came, and he sat next to me, and he started to cry as well. So it got very weird at that moment. I'm sorry if we freak you out as well. God is just too much for us sometimes. Amen. And I went home that day, and I knew I was fixed. I knew there was a long road to walk. I knew there was pieces that had to come together, but in my heart, I knew it happened. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Because when I came, I held back a lot, but when I bowed down that morning, about the final time, I never got off up before his throne again. I've never turned back. That's 15 years ago about. And he started to restore me. But even though it took time for my life to grow in confidence and to grow in character and to grow as a husband, in my spirit, I was full. He deposited everything. Wow. Right there. Push into God's promise of restoration. He will restore you. Amen? Nehemiah 2 verse 5. Now he's talking to the king, asking permission to go. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. He says, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, he's a cupbearer to the king, he's in service of this king, he's asking the king, can I go and serve another kingdom? It's a very dangerous thing to ask. If I find favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers, that I may rebuild it. Point number 4. So start rebuilding your broken heart. If you can get past number 2, if you can be on your knees and say, I've tried everything. I don't mind being a fool for you. I'm a fool anyways. Just take me, Lord. Know that there's a promise for you. Start rebuilding your heart. How do you do that? You get to know Jesus Christ, the love of your soul. And maybe worship tonight was a bit long. You thought, oh, it's long. You learn to worship. Double the time. It's a process, amen. Maybe you fall asleep when you read the Bible. Get a waterproof Bible and read in the shower. Okay. Whatever you have to do. You take one brick, put it on the other one. Tomorrow you build on. Amen. It speaks about endurance. Once you start, you don't turn back. Listen, I knew I was going to make many mistakes, and I've messed up since 15 years back. But I'll tell you one thing. Ek het mure skeef gebou, ek het afgekap, ek het weer gebou. But I've never stopped. Do you have the endurance to start and never stop? You will do well. It was so awesome for me just remembering seeing you in the Bibgat, James. More than 10 years later. That's what it's going to take. One of the guys is sitting here, told me he wants to preach. I said, are you willing to work for 7 years? He said, yes. And I actually joked about it this morning. There's something in charismatic circles that people refer to as the zap theory. Okay, so if I preach well and I pray for you, boom, now you preach well as well. Junk. People will go and roll in some other preacher's bed just to get the anointing. I'm telling you. You laugh, it's true. They will twirl in the gordijnen and everything. The only thing that will do, it will make you look like a mompara. Okay? It doesn't work like that. You meet him once, and he fills you. And then you build your character, you build your spirit, man. You get to know him, you build your healing. One brick on the next. Amen? Start today. If you haven't started, this is a good place to build. So we invite you if you're visiting us. Nehemiah 4 verse 2, and he sat in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria. What are these feeble Jews doing? These are not the opposition. These guys are coming. They're now criticizing the work. They're saying, will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? And then these guys said, what they are building, verse 3, if a fox goes up to it, he will break down their stone wall. That's how bad they are at building. And Nehemiah prays, hear, O God, we are despised, we are mocked, people hate us. Here's number 5. Expect to face opposition. I'm telling you now, Scripture says it to you, so make it a part of your spiritual budget. Have it in you. Be ready that you will be challenged. You will be opposed. Sometimes it's your own fault because you're being stupid, all right? But even if you are doing very well, you will still have opposition, just like Nehemiah. And so that may be people. That may be just the difficulty of the task, right? That can be opposition in itself. But here's your most dangerous enemy. I just want to drop this with you. It's the invisible one, the most dangerous enemy is the one in the mirror. Because when the one you see in the mirror loses his or her joy, there's trouble. When the one in the mirror feels depressed, there's problem. When the one in the mirror is overcome by the difficulties, there's problem. So you have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You have to build your spirit, man. You need to speak to your spirit and say, you need to be strong now. You need to worship today. You need to do well today. You can do this. You must lift yourself up, because when you are discouraged, you have problems. Because wherever you go, there you are. Expect and face opposition. Expect it and face it. Be ready for it. Amen? How are you ready for it? That's our next point. Embrace your God-given team. I'm finishing off with this. Embrace your team. It's the church, your small group, people that your accountability partner, whatever. Let me just read you 4 verses, which is extremely difficult to read because you're wondering, why is it in the Bible? And the thing is, it carries on for longer than a chapter. I only have 4 verses, so you get the idea of it. Are you ready? Okay, there's some names again. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they, listen up, built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated as far as the tower of the 100, as far as the tower of Hananel. So they know this wall. These are markers. It goes on. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Asana yes, built the fish gate. Dis waar Neil sou gewees het. Ek weet nie hoeveel bakstene daar sou geplaas gewees het nie, maar they laid its beams and they set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them, I'm just going to stop there with those names, because I'm telling you, it goes on a whole chapter. What is the point? Everyone started to build the area close to their house or the place where they work. And they all built together and they finished one wall. Now there's 2 applications for you for this example in our church. Firstly, we all build together at this house and in God's house all over the world. Some of us can sing, some of us definitely cannot sing. Some of us can drink coffee. Some of us can host very well. Some of us can work with media. If you put me behind the media team, we've got problems. It's going to be the second coming. All right? So in one sense, we all build together. But I also want to say this. There's many people needed to build you back. That's what I want to leave with you tonight. If you have a broken heart, you cannot heal it on your own. Because you know what? It wasn't broken on your own. It was broken by people. And it can only be fixed in relationship again. Amen? So why do you have a broken heart? Why do you have a broken heart? If Nehemiah did not have a broken heart, the walls would still be down. If there was not someone with a broken heart, there's a certain orphanage that would not exist. If there was not someone with a broken heart, there would not be a son or a daughter adopted. If there was not someone with a broken heart, the very first person who brought the gospel to this town would not have come. Why do you have a broken heart in this world? Because I know that if you bring this to God, if you can get past point number two, cities will be loved because of you. Cities will exist. Walls will be built. Lives will be changed. If you hear me, just go like this. Okay. We need some Africans in this crowd just to talk back to me. As long as you're listening. So what I want us to do tonight is let's stand up, and I'm just going to invite the band back up. I'm going to ask two questions tonight. You guys can stand up. I'm going to ask you to commit to rebuilding your broken heart. Can I do that? Can we do that tonight? What I want you to do is for a minute, just close your eyes where you are standing, everyone. And I want you for a moment to look into your own heart. Can you just do a quick stock take? And maybe some of you, you're not enjoying what's happening right now as you are taken back to that situation that happened back when you were a child or maybe last week. But for this moment, just look at it. Don't look away. Just see it before you, your own heart. And here's the thing. While you're thinking of it, we normally ask one question, but we neglect the more important one. The question we don't mind to answer is, what broke your heart? And you tell the story, this is what happened, I can't believe he did that, I can't believe I did that, or my parents, or whatever. But here's a question you need to ask. Why? Or what now? Okay, it's broken. What now? So I'm going to give an opportunity. If you're visiting, this is not weird. We do this every week. We want people to respond. We want to help you with this process. Before I'm going to ask you to stand in faith for your heart, I want to make a very special invitation. And while every eye is closed, this is my question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or do you want to have a relationship with our King? Or do you maybe want to walk back to Him? That's the start of everything. And that's the most important question that a pastor can ask from the front. Do you want to come back to the one who loves you most tonight and trust Him with this process? If someone did not give me an invitation 15 years back, I don't know where I would have been. I don't know if there would have been a church here. I don't know. What I know is I'm asking that question now to some builders in this place. Here's my question. Do you want to come to Jesus or do you want to come back to Jesus and walk into a relationship with Him? I'll tell you this. There is many unavoidable pain in this world. Already. When you walk with God, He will lead you to miss the avoidable pains. But for that, you must come to Him. And So while every eye is closed, I'm going to make an invitation. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do from the start. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand in a minute or so. And then someone will come to you, one of our facilitators, and pray with you. Okay? And so here's my invitation. I'm going to count to three. And if you want to come back to Jesus or come to Him for the first time, when I say three, and I want you to put your hand up unashamedly high and say, this is me. I'm coming back to Christ. I'm going to build for Him.